He's the chief sports writer at the Sydney Morning Herald. It's Wednesdays with Andrew Webster.
Morning to you, Webby.
Good morning, Matt. Good morning, listeners.
How's your week been, mate? Yeah, week out of lockdown.
Yeah, nothing's changed for some of us.
Straight back into business. Can we talk about expansion first up and sure. What you've made of what's happened over the last 24 to 48 hours and the leaking of Redcliffe being the preferred candidate? What have you made of all of that?
Oh, look, it's not surprising. I think it's hardly breaking news. Redcliffe have been the favourites to become the second Brisbane team for, God, 6 months. But I have to say the whole process and the way that this has been played out really doesn't inspire other bids if they're talking about an 18th team, which has been raised in the last few days as well, because the way this one's played out is pretty shambolic, you've got to say. There's no real excitement around it. There should be some anticipation about who will be the next team, but instead it's just been a slow drip feed of stories via News Corp, which is no surprise because it was News Corp's money at Foxtel that was going to fund it. So whether the process was right or wrong, the NRL will say it will be. I'm sure the other two bids, Ipswich and the Firehawks, will have something to say about it when it's all finalised. But is Redcliffe the right franchise? It's probably it's got its negatives and positives. Is it going to stitch up the western corridors and southwest corridors of Brisbane? Who knows? I tell you what, it's probably a better result for both the Broncos and the Titans that it's Redcliffe. But I just think the way that it's come out and the way that the process has played out hasn't been that professional, to be perfectly honest.
We had Nick Livermore on this program yesterday. Of course, he's in charge of the bid for the Jets. And he's pointed out that if it is going this way, they would be very disappointed in the process, Webby, as you mentioned, because essentially it was a 60-minute meeting. They haven't checked out any facilities out there or at the others. They have, obviously, they had the Intrust Super Cup up there at Redcliffe. So does the NRL really need to look at its processes here? Like you say, if it's going to an 18th team, when it can decide a franchise on a one-hour meeting?
Well, probably, to be honest, it needs to decide the money, where the money's coming from first. That's it got it the wrong way around. So it agreed to a second team, and then it went, well, we have to go and actually get money off the broadcasters, and that main broadcaster is Foxtel, because they're the ones that will be broadcasting most of the matches of a new team, so they're going to have to carry most of the load. And they're also the broadcaster that we've done a long-term deal with. They're still obviously off with Channel 9, the publisher of the masthead I work for, obviously, at the end of next year. So they got to ask about, to be perfectly honest. If they're going to bring in an 18th team, they'd want to do it the other way around. Again, though, it seems like, and look, I'm not trying to be anti-news limited, but it seems like it isn't so much what's great for the game, but what's great for the News Corp owned Brisbane Broncos. That's what the process has opened up suspicions of. So if they do it again, then you think they'd want to do it a little bit better than they have. I know one thing, the clubs were pretty adamant last week when they spoke. There's a hookup end of last week where the clubs finally got to talk about the financials of all the three respective bidders. And Peter Volandis came under fire from, as I understand it, Blake Solly, the South CEO. And Peter Volandis said, hey, let's not be combative about this. Which raised a few eyebrows, because PVL can be quite combative in both his roles in racing and rugby league. I think they wanted some questions about, I think the clubs want money out of it, that's one thing, but if there's any extra broadcast revenue and all this, these new money streams that are coming in to the game, and especially when the game announces a $50 million profit during COVID-stricken times, but they just wanted to know how it's going to work and whether it's going to affect, one, the financials of the competition and what that might mean for club grants, and also what it means in terms of a player drain with another team in the competition. So, and this is on top of the fact that grassroots football and the lower tiers of rugby league have been severely hampered because of COVID in the last 2 years. So I just feel like the clubs, that the whole thing's been rushed to come to an outcome very, very quickly, and it didn't have to be that way.
Do you think if Redcliffe is the winner of the bid, do you think going north of Brisbane is the right move, or should they be targeting out west where AFL is getting pretty heavy with some serious money, mate?
I talked to Andrew Abdo about this a few weeks ago, and he didn't seem to think that putting a team in the western corridor, as I like to say, of Brisbane necessarily is needed to take on the AFL, that they can still do that with Brisbane. But my question is, why haven't the Broncos and the Titans taken on this area earlier? Like, why haven't the Titans, who were worried about a Firehawks bid, haven't they been trying to channel that area sooner? Why have the Broncos not tried to tap into the western suburbs of Brisbane earlier? And some will say that it's complacency. I don't know why that should have been a factor in whether the other two bids were so easily discounted.
In our discussions yesterday and a pretty extensive look at expansion, we very quickly, Webby, went from 17 to 20 teams, essentially. And we ended up with, you know, suggestions of three teams based out of New Zealand. Let's not go that far, but does a 17th team therefore make sense for an 18th team? You get the 9 matches, you get the full round, there's no bye, extra match for the broadcasters?
Well, that's the thing. It's an extra match for the broadcasters, and it's extra, so obviously a lot more revenue. Look, like a lot of people, though, I'm just worried about the quality of the competition. Like, we've seen the difference between the good teams and the bad teams this year, which was only exacerbated by the change in the rules, which really showed you the difference between the top and the bottom sides. You know, where, as I said, the next tier of the game has been severely affected because of COVID in the last 2 years. So where's the drain for it? How much of a drain is that going to have on, or is that going to have on the competition if we go out there? I think we need to be very, very careful about just expanding for the sake of it. And I saw Nick Politis' comments a few days ago in the Telegraph, and he makes a really good point, Nick. And, you know, a bloke who's worth $1.4 billion and rising, you can't really discount his business acumen. But expanding just for the sake of it, at the expense of the quality of the competition, I don't think it necessarily works. I think the NRL got saved this year in many ways by a cracking final series that showed you that it's not so much about points scored that gets the punters through the turnstiles and flicking on their pay TV subscriptions or flicking on whatever free-to-air broadcaster has the rights. It's a close contest. If you watch the NFL, yesterday there were so many close games in the NFL, and that happens every single week. Now, I'm not saying that the NRL can be the NFL, but that's what they should aspire to something that's, you know, where there's close competitions week in, week out. And, you know, it was only 3 years ago that there was that 2 points separated first and eight at the end of the season. That's, you know, I think the game needs to get back to that point where there's just more contest between the games that are played.
It does beg the question, and we pose this too, why does the game need a 17th team? Why do we need expansion? I'm not saying that the answer to that is no, we shouldn't. I'm just saying perhaps that's a question that we should have a little look into. Greg from San Susie's on the line, Webby, so we'll get Greg's call up because I think that's the theme that you're going down, Greg. Good morning, mate.
It is. Morning, Matty. Morning, Webby. What does a 17th team, as opposed to bringing in 18, actually bring to the game? It doesn't bring any more television time. And at a time when the junior numbers are shrinking at the rate of about 8 to 9% a year, is expansion there purely and simply because somebody wants a cash influx?
Oh, I think it's a couple of factors. It brings 12 extra games in a year. So it brings an injection of money. But, you know, as we've been sort of saying on this show, and I wrote a few weeks ago, the main thing is that the NRL have finally woken up to the threat of AFL in Brisbane. So they've been talking about a second Brisbane team for so long, and it's so similar to what happened in the western suburbs of Sydney with about 10, 12 years ago with GWS. The AFL have deep pockets. They are well organised and they're patient. They don't care how much money they're spending because they just know that they've got such a a strong model that brings in so much money that they can afford to play the long game with a club like GWS. And I think the NRL, finally, the penny dropped in the last 6 months. I know it certainly did with Peter Volandis and Andrew Abdo, and went, well, you know what? If they're setting up an $80 million academy in the outer suburbs of Ipswich, then they must be gearing up for a second Brisbane team at some stage soon. And that is Heartland, Rugby League Heartland, that they don't want to cough up. So I think that's I think that certainly mobilised them into action.
It's a good question, Greg. Thanks for your call this morning, mate. Hope you enjoy your day. If the AFL, as we know, is pushing west of Brisbane, has there been much work, Webby, or much research done on how much the AFL is pushing north, where this northern corridor is going to attract the Redcliffe team?
No idea. I'm not sure what the AFL's research is in the northern suburbs of Brisbane, but I'm sure if they think there's eyeballs and there's memberships to be sold, I'm sure they're looking there already.
Yeah. So the bottom line is they're spending, like you say, $70, $80 million out towards Ipswich. So to me, if that's where the fight is, that's where you go for the fight. It appears as though the NRL is going the other way. Anyway, we'll get to the bottom of that sooner or later. Redcliffe Dolphins will probably be announced sometime this week as the 17th team, and then the debate will really kick off about the 18th team. For our listeners, on the back of Greg's call, are you worried about the disparity between the top and bottom teams? As Webby said, we ended up having a ripping finals series, but when we get more teams coming in, does the gap between the top and bottom become even more? Do we have enough players? We keep asking this question. Webby, who would be your marquee signing if you were in charge of the 17th team at Redcliffe?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I reckon... So Cameron Munster has been earmarked for some time, and he sort of said a very Cameron Munster loose statement saying that, you know, he'd definitely be interested in it. He might have done his brand a little bit of damage, as we all know, in the last few weeks. I reckon Cameron Munster will have a standout year next year because of what's happened. So if you, any team that would can get Cameron Munster in it, I'd be grabbing him if I could. I said it on Matty Johns' show last Friday. I'd be looking at Christian Welsh. Mm. He's a proud Queenslander. He's very articulate publicly. Articulate when he speaks publicly. He is a future captain for sure, and would be a mainstay of both the Queensland and Australian teams for years to come. So he'd be a great front man. And now there's all this talk about Kalyn Ponga. So he's got player options for 23 and 24 in his current deal with the Knights. I'd be looking at him as well. The power of Supercoach Bennett in trying to get players there. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out in terms of the player market next season.
Well, like I said, there's so many points to signing a marquee player, but probably the biggest carrot that they'll have to dangle will be the Wayne Bennett factor. Gavin from Penrith says they should have held off until 2025 and brought in two teams at once. It instantly adds a ninth game, removes the need for all buys. As for stadiums, what's the point of Redcliffe having a good home ground if they're going to play most of their home games at Suncorp? It's a question I raised with Jimmy Smith, or Jimmy actually discussed with me yesterday before we moved on. Thank you, Gavin. Let's hit the open line again. Expansion thoughts from Jim out there at Campbelltown. Morning, Jim. What are you thinking?
Hello.
Go ahead, Jim. We can hear you loud and clear.
Hello.
Jim can't hear us, Webby, so we'll try and get Jim back. Hello, Jim. That was Jim's contribution to the program. We'll try and get Jim back on the line and continue
Jim,
this
come
discussion.
Back, Jim.
Hey, we've got a fair bit to talk about. So you might have heard this, Webby, as you're coming into the studio. I'm looking for the top three rugby league stories of 2021. So the top three stories, and you just start to think about, I think that it goes back to crackdown at Magic Round, then it goes through relocation. There's got to be the infamous Dragons barbecue in there as well. We get to the grand final. Was that the biggest story? So I'm going to let you have a little bit of thinking time while the news is on, and I want to get your thoughts on the top three. I'm getting plenty of texts coming through. Got a New South Wales Blues scarf to give away to the best contributions. So give us your top three headlines from season 2021 so far. Maybe there's more headlines to be written, and we'll see how that goes. 0457 736 736 is the text line, or 1300 01 1170. We'll also discuss the NRL's vaccine debate. When do they come out with their stance? It's starting to happen, of course, overseas, and this, I think, could be the biggest off-season story that the game has. Time for the 9:30 news.